Off the Ball, GAA.
It was a very interesting moment in Mayo GAA, and then, as you know, we have lots of interesting moments in Mayo GAA.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. Off the Ball's Football Daily.
Welcome to Friday's Football Daily. I'm Phil Egan. Coming up, we preview the last night of League of Ireland action before the break for the international games. As Ireland prepared to take on Turkey in Istanbul, we'll get the latest as Katie McCabe looks set to captain the side just 6 days on from winning the Champions League. And Real Madrid will have Trent Alexander-Arnold available for the Club World Cup. But first, tonight's action, and tonight Off the Ball's commentary will come live from Turner's Cross, where Cork City face champions Shelburne. Stephen Doyle and former Cork City defender Johnny Dunleavy will be in the commentary box for the sides currently in 6th and 9th place in the league. Shells arrive in Cork off the back of a 3-2 win last week at home to Sligo Rovers, just their second win in 9. It's a second game in charge of Cork for Gerard Nash. They lost 2-1 to Galway last Friday. Cork have been boosted this week with a familiar face returning to the club. Former Ireland international David Myler was named as their new assistant manager on Thursday. Myler came through the ranks at Cork before he joined Sunderland, who were in the Premier League then back in 2008. He later moved on to Hull, where he made 191 appearances. He was capped 26 times by Ireland before a knee injury forced him to retire early at the age of 30. Myler has coached in the Hull City Academy. He's also worked with the Ireland under-17s and Colin O'Brien. And this week on the LOI pod, Nathan Murphy, Vinnie Perth and Gareth McGlynn discussed Myler's appointment.
For him to come back and take this as assistant manager at Cork City is a bit of a statement of intent, Gareth, from Cork.
Absolutely, and a statement of intent from David as well. He knows that he has to go on and just find out about the league, and at Cork City, no better place. But it also, we talked about it before, I think it was 4 or 5 weeks ago, it's not just a manager anymore, it's a package. It's the assistant manager. The workload that these managers and assistant managers are under, you need to delegate as much as you can, and it's a great opportunity. We talked about it last week, a good squad. There's no doubt about it. The previous manager left the squad in good condition, and we saw in the previous matches, they're not far away from getting a few results. So great opportunity, not only for the manager Nash, but also for David Myler.
What are your thoughts on it? Obviously, it was an issue for Tim Clancy, Vinny, and you know, I think you spoke brilliantly on it a couple of weeks ago, the stress that's on the manager. So it's a huge boost for Gerard Nash to have somebody that he can lean on.
Yeah, I think it's a really good appointment. We live in two different worlds now. One is full of cynics, or the other one is people who are brave. And appointing David, in one sense, some will question, and others will say it's a very brave appointment. I think it's a really good appointment for the simple fact is, I know David's been away for a few years. I presume this means he's moving back, obviously. And I think he'll have a certain amount of local knowledge. Gerard won't have that to the same level, obviously. So just a sharing of workload. I've listened to David quite a lot, particularly with yourselves, Nathan. Comes across as a really knowledgeable fella. I haven't seen him, or nor has anybody seen him really coaching. So that'll be the interesting part.
Shelburne will be without Sean Boyd and Sam Bone this week, but they have been boosted by Paddy Barrett's possible return to the bench. Sean Gannon and Lewis Temple could also be fit to make returns to a defence which has been hit by an injury crisis all season. Goalkeeper Conor Kearns might also make it back in time after he suffered an injury at home to Drogheda 2 weeks ago. Shell's boss Damien Duff took a swipe at Vinnie Perth last week. The former Dundalk boss had said Shelburne's form had fallen off a cliff since last season. Duff responded by saying what Vinnie says is irrelevant to him, and that was brought up on this week's LOI pod.
What Vinnie says is absolutely irrelevant to me, which is sort of what we could have named this podcast. It's just noise. It's just noise. I'm the man in the arena. The players are the men in the arena. Vinny's outside the arena. And as long as he's outside of the arena, it's irrelevant. Noise outside doesn't affect the dressing room like myself. So I don't really care.
I've been sent it about 50 times. I haven't heard what Damien said. So I played golf the other day and I came up with a good friend of mine, a fellow knows Damien well. And his interpretation of it was similar to what mine would be after hearing what Nathan said. Damien Duff is right, Nathan, and I'm not going to give you a clickbait, unfortunately, because he's right. Nobody in that dressing room should listen to me or to pundits, but That doesn't mean we haven't got a right to have an opinion on the game. He's right. It shouldn't. What people say, and there's too much of this going on. Forget Damien and what he said about me or anyone else. There's too much of that. People losing their cool over what people are saying. Everything is a snapshot in time, and that snapshot in time was Chelsea were in a bad run of form. Their form from where they are from last year to where they are now is nowhere near the levels. In one sense, they feel like they're playing better, and they're talking about that they're playing better. But the results have, you know, deteriorated, and may not use those choice awards. Fine, but I stand over what I said, and look, it is what it is. I certainly don't much respect to get involved in anything with Damien, and I'm sort of glad he's not listening to me.
I watched the clip with Damien Duff, and to be honest, I didn't get the sense he was having a go. I think he was actually saying what Vinny has just said, which is all of this outside noise. Like, we can't get caught up in this because there's no way, as you say, with the run of results they've been on, that Duff hasn't been twice as critical as whatever anyone's saying on the outside to his players.
Kickoff in Cork tonight is 7:45, and remember, you can tune in for live and exclusive commentary on the radio and news talk from 7 o'clock. You could also listen on the Go Loud app. Shamrock Rovers will look to continue their good form going into the mid-season break. Rovers are aiming for a 6th win in a row when they face Galway United at Talla Stadium. The league leaders have a couple of gaps defensively, though. Dan Cleary is suspended. Lee Grace and Sean Kavanagh are injured. Speaking to their in-house media channel, Rovers boss Stephen Bradley says that Galway will be a tough nut to crack.
Yeah, Galway are very, very organised. Very good at what they do. Like I said, they've got really strong attributes, and I'm sure they'll come to Talla with a game plan to go on and try and upset us and win the game. So we got to make sure we're ready for that.
Rovers have boosted their striking options this week. However, he won't be available to play until the 1st of July. John McGovern has arrived from Irish Cup winners Dungannon Swifts, and Bradley says he's someone they've had on their radar for quite a while.
Yeah, we've looked at him for quite some time. We're delighted to get him in and get him done. He's a young player, obviously, with a lot of potential, and he has really good attributes that we feel will really add to the group going forward.
You've always said you'll only do business in a transfer window if the right target comes up. Is there potential for any more incomings in the next window?
Yeah, we're looking, obviously, to see if the right personnel become available that we feel improves the squad. If we feel that happens, we'll obviously bring it to the board and we'll make a decision as a club going forward. But look, we have a really good squad. We're happy with what we have. But yeah, always have to keep improving.
On the LOI pod, Gareth McLinn feels this signing could be a major boost to the 21-time league champions.
You know what? It's brilliant succession planning from Shamrock Rovers. If you think Gaffney and Green, are they going to be there next year? He's brought him in now. He's going to give him the half the season, get him up to speed, and he will be one for next season and the season after. I mean, he's a young man. He's only finished playing GAA. And if I think back to my time when I played hurling and Gaelic and football, whenever Derry City told me, you're going to have to knock out in the head, my fitness stagnated to a certain degree. So he's coming in now with having to play GAA up until last year at 21. His raw pace is frightening. He's very direct, and he's got a rawness that Shamrock Rovers should be able to mould. Like, he's a raw diamond, but he knows where the net is.
And remember, you can listen to the LOI pod with Vinnie Perth and Gareth McLinn every week for absolutely free on YouTube or on the Go Loud app. Just search the LOI pod wherever you get your podcasts. Former Celtic man Adam Matthews is settling into life at Shamrock Rovers. The former Wales international has played 2 of their last 3 games, and he says this league is a competitive one.
Yeah, very competitive league, a lot of good teams. I think a lot of the teams are close together, which you can see by the table. But we've gone on a good run now and created a bit of a gap, so hopefully we can keep that going.
Galway ended a 4-game barren run by returning to winning ways against Cork last week, and one of their danger men, Moses Dyer, was back among the goals. John Caulfield's side didn't score in their losses to Sligo Rovers and Waterford before that game against Cork. Galway arrive in the capital in 7th place. They're 12 points off Rovers at the top, who have played a game more. Kick-off at Talla Stadium is 8 o'clock. Derry City travel down the N2 to take on Bohemians at Dalymount Park. Bows go into this weekend's game against Derry level on points, with the Candy Stripes ahead of them just on goal difference. Alex Lacey is out while Connor Parsons is a doubt, but Lys Mousset should be back after shaking off an Achilles problem. Speaking to Virgin Media TV, Bows boss Alan Reynolds knows his side will have to be firing on all cylinders to get anything against an improving Derry side.
Definitely. Look, as I said, we've got 6 from 8 now at the moment, 6 wins, and the confidence grows. It's so important. We haven't drawn any, you know, it's either a win or a loss with us, but one thing for sure, Derry are an excellent side. Excellent. They've come a long way since we played them second game of the season. Really good players, experience, but real quality. I think we've come a good bit as well, so it makes for a tough game, but we know we need to be at our best.
Derry will look to bounce back from last week's 2-1 loss at home to Shamrock Rovers. A game they went ahead in through Danny Mullen. Derry have no injury concerns as they look to bring a full complement to Dublin. Tiernan Lynch is hoping for a reaction from that Rovers game, and it's a match he's really looking forward to.
Definitely a game we're looking forward to. I have been to Daly Mount before for games, and the atmosphere is superb. We know how influential the crowd can be and how they can get behind the team. It's probably our job to make sure that we don't give them an opportunity to get behind them and drag them through games. So there's no doubt it's a game we're relishing. And as far as our away form, I think the big thing that we need to do as a group is now start to find some consistency. We felt like we were really getting there, and Friday night has set us back a little bit, but like most things now, that's not something that we're going to shy away from and sweep under the carpet, and it didn't happen. It very much happened, and there's things, as I said, we looked at which were very, very good in the game. There was things that we looked at that weren't so good in the game, and to find that real consistency and be in a position to really get closer to the Rovers of this world, there's lots of things we need to do better.
Kickoff in Daly Mount is 7:45. Meanwhile, 2 goals from Mason Melia last week still wasn't enough to get St Pat's all 3 points at home to Waterford. It finished 2-2 in that game at Bridgham Park. This week, Stephen Kenny's side travel west to take on the bottom side Sligo Rovers. The Saints will be without midfielder Barry Bagley due to suspension, but they can welcome back Jamie Lennon from a ban of his own. And playmaker Chris Forrester will be assessed before the game. Speaking to their in-house media channel, Kenny says he's hoping his side can give their supporters a lift before the mid-season pause.
Yeah, it's been a hectic period. This is the 7th league game in May. It's been a really intensive period. We've managed to get a week in between the games this time and able to prepare. So we get ourselves ready for Sligo and, yeah, try and put in a performance and give ourselves a lift ahead of the mid-season break.
Sligo, on the other hand, will have to do without defender Ollie Denham for another few weeks, while Oscar Van Hattem, Connor Reynolds and Jake Doyle-Hayes will have to be assessed before kick-off. Sligo have 2 wins from their last 13 games. They'll be hoping to put together some solid home form to try and move off the bottom of the table. That game at the Showgrounds kicks off at 7:45. This time last year, Drogheda and Waterford were 9th and 3rd in the table respectively after 18 games. As they arrive towards the same point this year, they're 2nd and 8th. Although, as Stephen Kenny mentioned earlier, the latter is more or less mid-table in the congested standings. But for the FAI Cup holders, Drogheda, these are heady days. And the fact they're 2nd, 6 points off Shamrock Rovers, despite a somewhat iffy May, shows how far they've come. Captain Ryan Brennan will miss the game at the RSC due to a one-match ban, while Paul Doyle and Josh Thomas are injured and James Bulger's a doubt. While Waterford didn't win at St Pat's last week, the performance harked back to some of their solid displays since John Coleman has taken over. Putting the loss to Shamrock Rovers aside, the new manager is in upbeat mood before Drogheda's visit. Waterford have no fresh injuries to contend with beyond those already on the sidelines. Matty Smith, Andy Boyle, Trey Coyle and Kasper Rutkowski. Kick-off at the RSC is 7:45. In the First Division, Wexford host the leaders Dundalk. Second place Cove Ramblers are at home to Munster rivals Treaty United. Colin Healy's Kerry take on Longford Town. UCD welcome Athlone Town to Belfield. And Bray Wanderers have home advantage against Finn Harps. All those First Division games kick off at 7:45.
This week on Diverted, it's the series finale, Argentina Part 2. It's been emotional, but my hitchhiking journey finally comes to an end, and I finally, kind of, come to terms with the fact that I missed out on the Buenos Aires celebrations after the 2022 World Cup.
A lot of people who I haven't seen since the World Cup would just greet you with, "We won the World Cup." Yeah. It's like, instead of hello, you go, "Hey, we won the World Cup."
We'll also be speaking to people in the Welsh regions of Patagonia.
When Welsh came to Patagonia, it was so important to them to maintain their culture, their language, their religion, and their way of living life.
And we will visit Newell's Old Boys, the club that connects both Maradona and Messi in Rosario.
Bueno, ese equipo 74, 88, 1988, 90, 91, 92, 2004, 2003. Uh-huh. Esas son todas las estrellas que tienen.
Diverted. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. On Off the Ball.
Ireland are in Istanbul to take on Turkey in the penultimate game of their Women's League campaign. The focus for Ireland is trying to get back to League A of the Nations League, which would boost their seeding for World Cup qualification. The Group 2 winners go straight up. Second place will get you a playoff over two legs against one of the third place teams in League A. And obviously it'll be two more competitive games in the autumn, which would be no harm as the team looks to go through a period of transition. Teams in League A, by the way, are guaranteed a World Cup playoff regardless of their qualification campaign. They'll be braced for a physical battle this evening against a decent Turkish outfit. Ireland laboured to a 1-0 win when they met in Tala in February. That was Carlo Ward's first game in charge. Liam Kiernan and Heather Payne are both out. Abby Larkin could get a run from the start. Erin Healy, the new call-up, might feature off the bench at some point. She's impressed Ward and her staff in training this week and is a bit of a wild card if Ireland are struggling to break Turkey down. Captain Katie McCabe trained, having linked up with the squad on Wednesday. The Dubliner is coming back down to earth after helping Arsenal to a Champions League final win against Barcelona in Lisbon last Saturday. Ward has said that she's raring to go, but McCabe has been managing a calf injury for a while now and might be held in reserve, especially with the Slovenia game at Porky Cueve on Tuesday in mind. However, speaking on Off the Ball Breakfast today, former Ireland boss Sue Ronan says McCabe is still the leader of that Irish team.
She's a winner, you know, she wants to win. She doesn't like losing any type of a match, whether it's a friendly match, whether it's a World Cup game in Australia, whether it's the playoff against Wales. And I think, you know, because she's a winner and obviously because she's the captain, she possibly thinks she has to do more or go the extra mile. And sometimes that seeps into a little bit of negativity into her game. You know, she can lunge into tackles, she can get involved in variables, silly stuff really, because it's going to impact her performance or potentially have her booked or even sent off. But I think she does take on that leadership and wants to drag the team through when things are not going well. And she does do that for the Irish team. And maybe she sees it as her responsibility, whereas it's not her responsibility in the Arsenal team, although she is probably one of the longest serving players there now. And she still is quite vocal. You can see her on the pitch and she still is a bit of a leader on the pitch. But, you know, she doesn't have to lead in the same way as she does with Ireland, because yeah, it is shared, because you have a huge amount of experience across the Arsenal team with English internationals, English captains from other nations. So, you know, she doesn't have to do it as much maybe at Arsenal as she does at Ireland. So it's just about her channeling it, I think, and trying to harness that in the right way when those times come around.
Remember, you can listen to the Off the Ball Breakfast show every weekday morning from 7:30 live on the Go Loud app, or you can watch it live on YouTube. Kira Caruso will lead the line, having missed the 2-1 win over Greece due to a quad injury. Megan Connolly is also back in the frame after missing that March window. Louise Quinn could play a key role despite announcing her intention to retire at the end of next month. Quinn says that Ward values her leadership skills in this period of transition for the national team.
Yeah, I think just, you know, what Carla wants me to do is probably, you know, I guess what I've been doing for the last few years. I'm just going to, for me, it's always been about, you know, coming in, giving 100%, being, you know, proud of, you know, of the badge, being able to play for your country and you know, fighting for that position. And I think, you know, that's given so much. I think, you know, in those moments, potentially, you know, even the Slovenia game, and that's the thing, you know, I wasn't there, but, you know, it was trying to find someone to really take it by the scruff of the neck and do that. And, you know, and that can come from anywhere. But yeah, I think for me, it's, you know, I don't think I'm going to change too much, you know, in terms of my leadership style. I haven't even really overly thought about it, to be honest. It's just how I kind of play the game and approach the game. And, you know, I just love chatting to the girls and catching up and seeing how everyone's getting on. And that's, you know, for me, that's how I've always been. So, but yeah, if I can kind of, you know, bridge that gap a little bit of, you know, obviously between the coaches, the players, the, you know, potentially just checking in a little bit more on the defenders and, you know, seeing just how we're progressing there. Because I think, yeah, if you can get, with everything really solid back there and strong voices, I think that can really kind of set the tone in terms of the game. But that obviously doesn't happen all the time. I've lost many a game that I've been a part of, but I think just kind of having that base is really important. So yeah, I don't think I'll change too much.
Kickoff in Istanbul is 6 o'clock. Inter and PSG have both arrived in Munich ahead of tomorrow night's Champions League final at the Allianz Stadium. Benjamin Pavard and Peter Zielinski will both miss out for the Serie A runners-up, while Lautaro Martinez and Marcus Thuram are both expected to be fit to start up front. PSG have a fully fit side to choose from. The only debate will be who starts in the front three. Luis Enrique can pick from Désiré Doué, Bradley Barcola, Ousmane Dembélé and Kvaratskhelia. Kickoff in Germany on Saturday night is 8 o'clock. Meanwhile, Real Madrid have reached an agreement with Liverpool to sign Trent Alexander-Arnold early, which would allow the right-back to be available for their entire Club World Cup campaign. The Spanish giants will pay €10 million in a single payment for Alexander-Arnold. The deal is worth even more to Liverpool, as they will no longer have to cover the remaining salary and bonuses he's owed. The 26-year-old is set to sign a six-year contract with his new side. The deal was agreed on Monday but was delayed after a man drove into the crowd during Liverpool's title celebrations in the city, with 79 people injured following the incident. Bruno Fernandes is giving serious consideration to an approach from Al Hilal, with talks continuing in Saudi Arabia. Al Hilal are trying to pull off a major coup by recruiting the Manchester United captain, whose agent has flown to the Middle East for negotiations. The outcome is uncertain at this stage, but it's been reported Fernandes hasn't ruled out the prospect of leaving United. The deal, according to people familiar with the matter speaking anonymously to protect relationships, is for 4 years. It would be €25 million a year net, equivalent to triple his current salary, while Al Hilal are said to be prepared to pay United €100 million. And a player that once played for Manchester United, Angel Di Maria, will return to his boyhood club Rosario Central 18 years after he left to move to Europe. Di Maria will join as a free agent after announcing he'd be leaving Benfica after the conclusion of his contract earlier this month. Benfica confirmed he'd move to Rosario after the Portuguese side's 2025 Club World Cup campaign. The World Cup winner with Argentina came through the Rosario Academy. He made 39 first-team appearances between 2005 and 2007 before he moved to Benfica. Di Maria said last summer a return to Rosario had been in the works, but he was forced to abandon those plans due to alleged threats of violence against him and his family. That's about all we have time for this week on Football Daily. Remember, you can hear all the reaction to tonight's games in the League of Ireland on our social channels and in podcast format. You can also tune in to League of Ireland Late Night with Cameron Hill on X Spaces from 10 o'clock tonight to give your 2 cents on all the games. I'm Phil Egan, and I'll be back next week.